Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 26th of October, recording at 4:56 p.m. British Summer Time, much earlier than usual, of course. First, the highlights so far in here. Not all that many, really, in terms of stock markets. TSE2, that's the Tokyo Second Section Index, sometimes a lead indicator, hit a new high in here today. Bonds, government bonds, still weak. This is a dangerous area. And the US dollar, no downside follow through today. Remember, it had that big downward dynamic yesterday, which I illustrated on the US dollar index. It's up a little bit in here, but not enough to, well, I think it's perhaps eroded no more than a third at most of that dollar decline yesterday. But downside follow-through would have been more significant in terms of trend. Now, precious metals, quietly steady in here today. Palladium better than that. More on that in a moment. And oil reversed a minor setback here today, firm again. Okay, let's go back to stock markets. Now, the big story, I think, well, it's been the big story for such a long time, tends to be resources. As you know, they had a big shakeout at the beginning of this month, hardly surprising since investors turned very nervous and nailed down some profits in those sectors. But I think I've pretty well maintained all along that I felt that the demand for these metals would really remain quite strong, and that setbacks, I personally regarded setbacks as a buying opportunity in those markets. Now, in here today, we're seeing some pretty good gains, and despite what I've said in comment of the day regarding the risks of mining companies, I really do feel that given the secular bull market, the supply and elasticity theme in metals, that, well, I'm certainly quite happy to have some long positions, but those include the Newmont mining, as I mentioned, and I've often mentioned in here. But basically, I don't like the industry relative to the metals. If there's a big exception, it's with Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton, because those are such diversified companies. Yes, the problems that the mining industry faces also applies to them, but you know they have that near monopoly along with the DRVD or whatever it's called, the South American company in the iron ore area, and the BHP Billiton has that stake in uranium. These are the powerhouses. It's a little bit like having a fund in terms of metal mining to have those two shares. So those remain core positions of mine. Now, mining indices or mining related stock markets, I should say, have continued firm in here, and we're seeing some of those Central and South American markets strong in here again today. New Zealand's picked up, the Australian stock market index has picked up quite a bit, South Africa, so on. So you get the picture. It's the same story that we had before. Now, what concerns me particularly is, you know, I've talked about the recent upward dynamics on Wall Street, and I've said that put at least a short-term floor underneath the market. Now, that's good news for in fashion sectors. What we are not seeing is that sentiment spilling over into some of the previous leaders in the Asian markets, such as India. Now, that's hardly surprising because India had such a strong run, and even the big India bulls, and I would claim to be one of the bigger India bulls, and I've certainly voted with my portfolio on that all along, feel that it had just run ahead a little bit too far. As you know, I'm not interested in taking my position out there. I'll deal with a little bit of volatility in a corrective phase, and just hope that markets don't fall apart. And given what Wall Street's seen recently, I don't expect India or any other stock market to to fall apart here in the short term. My main concern has all along been next year, where I do feel it'll be quite a miracle if we get through 2006 without a swingeing global market shakeout. But heck, let's get there first. And if things are improving right now, let's enjoy that as well. And of course, I could be wrong on 2006, but the historic evidence and some of the cyclical evidence and other and the interest rates factors and so on, I think are well would tend to support my view rather than discredit it. So that's so much for India, but Japan's another story. That's firm in here, and if Wall Street put in a low of some medium-term significance, that's an if. But if it did that earlier this month, then Japan will almost certainly see a shallower consolidation. In other words, we'd see it just above 13,000 on the Nikkei and just below the 14,000 level during the completion of this first step. Above the base. And I did notice that the TSE2 index, which I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, had edged to a new high ground. That's often a leading indicator for Japan. Now, the fund that I should own, and have a look at this after the close in Europe, because it's up today, the fund, one that I should have a stake in but don't currently, is the what is it called? It's the Atlantis Japan Growth Fund. Sorry, Atlantis Japan Growth Fund. AJG LN is the space, LN is the symbol, and you can find that, of course, in the funds section, investment trusts and funds section. It is an investment trust, so you'll find that in the chart library. Now, it was walloped during the setback, and primarily because I think the premium had moved to 10% or maybe a little bit higher, the premium to net asset value, and that's been washed out. So that's makes that look attractive. I actually tried to pick up some, or I asked if I could pick up some on a spread bet basis, but they won't let me do it for tedious reasons, which I won't go into. In terms of, well, I better explain briefly. It's a dollar-denominated fund traded in the UK, listed in the UK, and the spread bet people said they weren't set up to carry that on their books. They'd have to have some IT work done first. Pathetic answer, but that's the situation. And I'm not really keen to switch out of anything else in my investment portfolios right now, and I'm not keen to top up my investment portfolios at this cycle. But if I were going to buy anything in here today, I'd buy the Atlantis Japan Growth Fund. And what else to mention? That pretty well covers the stock markets. Bonds, these remain weak. I think the only thing that can really lift bond prices is the next stock, in terms of a significant rally, I should say, will be the next stock market sell-off of consequence whenever that occurs. Now, so when that, as and when that occurs, my view on this, that bonds should be shorted, government bonds, long-dated bonds should be shorted after technical rallies within their still developing top areas lose momentum. And US dollar, I pretty well covered a modest rally in here, regaining about a third of what it lost yesterday on the US dollar index. Precious metals, gold's been sort of up and down, high here on the day of 476, but it's currently at 473, and that's the low of the day. So it's down $1.40, but it had a good move yesterday, and I think it's only a matter of time before gold breaks out on the upside. The one that has broken up out on the upside, and it did it late yesterday is palladium, which I also bought yesterday. As I speak, that's up another 670 here at 228.25. So it's extending the breakout. And surprise, surprise, the laggard so often is currently leading. Clearly, other people recognize the contention, my contention for so long, and that of a good number of my subscribers, is that it is dirt cheap, a dirt cheap precious metal. And with platinum, what might be the reason other than speculative interest from the likes of me and perhaps some of you? Well, platinum has been hitting new highs for the last many months recently, and certainly remains firm in here again today, 946. But the significance there, and I always said that platinum was the key to palladium. You get platinum moving up, and then that would increase interest in palladium because with a little bit of reasonably expensive fine tuning, that palladium can be substituted for platinum in catalytic converters. And I gather that that's now even possible for diesel engines, which was not previously the case. So I would not be surprised, given the strength that we're seeing in palladium, and certainly if this continues, I would not be surprised to see an article coming out somewhere. So that some major automobile group or whatever has switched back or is using more palladium. The market tends to move before the news comes out so often, as you know, particularly in some of these commodities. Silver also firm in here today. 788 on the December contract, and it has been a little over 90, but with the dollar firming up a bit, it's 4 cents off the highs. Oil. Now this is interesting because we had that good upward dynamic yesterday, and earlier today oil dipped back down about 90 cents, 89 cents, got down to 61.55. That's the U.S. spot price. And so down to 61.55, is currently 62.90, up 46 cents. So it's following through on the upside after that downward dynamic. That's really quite bullish. That may spike my hopes of being able to buy natural gas back at a lower level. That's unchanged on the day and has been down a little bit, or was down a little bit not too long ago. If oil is pushing up, now that could put a dampen, well, that could have a dampening effect rather on some of these stock markets, so if that continues. But I don't think it's 62, 90, 63. People are going to be too worried about the oil price. But I did mention yesterday and perhaps the day before that I felt that a lot of these resources shares were a bit cheap in here, and I would expect some of the oils to be moving up. And we've had a nice pullback in things like the Investec Global Energy Fund and its companion U.S. fund, the Guinness Atkinson Fund. So I regard these levels as a buying opportunity. My only problem is that I've got some, and I've already explained it. I don't want to switch out of anything else that I happen to have, and or add new cash. And folks, I think that's pretty much it. And cocoa up a little bit more in here today. London cocoa, I see, just closed at 8:43, up 9. Promising chart pattern overall. I'll say one last thing on the dollar. I think the dollar is probably peaking in here, and I think that I've already said that I think that the nomination of Ben Bernanke to be head of the Federal Reserve will be a factor in people's reassessment of the US dollar, plus the fact that it's had a very good rally anyway this year and is up near a level of technical resistance. And I maintain that the dollar always bottoms out slowly and tops out slowly. So even if the dollar has bottomed out, and I will go no further than to say, as I was saying earlier in the year, that it was undergoing a bottoming out process, but this tends to be very lengthy. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see it come all the way back down and test those lows that we saw at the end of last December and at the beginning of the year in January. Wouldn't be at all surprised to see those tested and even exceeded a bit, but I maintain we aren't going to see any US dollar collapse. Now, needless to say, if we get the dollar moving down, let's say over the next 4 to 6 months or so, that the price of these precious metals will really take off on the upside. That's it, folks. All the best.